Can you go to the next slide, please? Next slide. One more slide. Thank you. I want to read this this morning, and I think this is the method in which we do that. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in what? Reaching the people. You know, we were sitting in a brand new, filled to the brim Sabbath school class in the youth room this morning, and we were talking about how and why we want to reach people. Right. And we do want to reach people. It says the Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their and he won their confidence. And then he bid them to follow me. This is the example that Christ gave. He didn't go throw a book at somebody. He didn't go just preach to them. He said he knew that everybody has a need. And Jesus, with his awesome wisdom and the help from his Father, went person by person by person and figured out how he could captivate their heart by meeting their need. A few amens. Y'all got to be with me this morning. Okay. Here's the thing. We serve others for several important reasons. I have several listed on the screen there. The first one is we serve others because Jesus did, right? It's a good thing, right? We serve others because we follow Jesus' example. So we saw it, we read about it, and we want to do it. We serve others because serving is a tangible expression of God's love. Amen? We serve others because serving breaks down barriers and opens hearts. And we serve others because serving changes our church and our world. Amen? They're all great reasons why we serve. Here's the thing. I think we need to think a little bit more about how we demonstrate the life of Jesus and don't just proclaim it. Somebody say ouch to that too, right? Ouch. So we can be excellent at proclaiming it, but we're not always the greatest at demonstrating that. Well, yeah. So this morning, what I want to do before we partake of communion, which we have open communion here, so if you're a guest with us today, you're more than welcome to join us with that. I want to go over some reasons or talk about how do we serve. And I have six ways in how we can serve and the mindset we should have as we serve here at the Aurora Grande Seventh-day Adventist Church and in our community. And the first one, I want to start by telling a story. There was a woman up in Canada in that community, that church, that somehow got her name in. They have several requests for home renovations every year, and it grows every year. And this woman that had a rare form of diabetes had lost a foot, and all her fingers were beginning to go, and they could not stop it. She was having a hard time. Her home was not handicap accessible. Anyways, to make a long story short, they granted her with the extreme home makeover. She was ecstatic. She was so excited. The pastor, who you saw there talking with the black shirt on, he went to her home and he met with her. He sat down, he talked with her, and he said, "Are you excited that they're going to be doing some renovations on your home?" And she goes, "I still can't believe it. I mean, you guys are going to come in here and you're going to rip this wall out and you're going to do this and you're going to take care of the mold in this room and you're going to make it so I can come in my house with my wheelchair." And she started crying. And then she said to him, and she said, "But I know really what you guys are after." He says, "What's that?" She goes, "You're going to expect me to come to your church now." He said, "Actually, we don't expect that at all." He goes, "We're not doing this so you come to our church or you do Bible studies. We don't do that at our church. We're doing this because we're demonstrating to you how much God loves you. And you're not, we don't, you don't have to come to our church." And so that's the first reason how we should serve. And that is we serve with no strings attached. No strings attached. How many of you have ever gone to one of those even more. Where they, Lacey, we went to that place in Carmel, the timeshare thing, right? Oh, yeah. We're just like the timeshare people. We are. We have an agenda, and the agenda is to get them in the tank. No. We need to minister to people, find out what their needs are, and show them how much God loves them, and let the Spirit move them into these doors. Amen? We need to stop pushing people and prodding people and getting them into a corner, because you know what happens when that happens? Most of the time, they're out the door in 6 months anyways because they knew the relationship was fraudulent. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little on edge here. But you know, I want to go to this text because I think it rocks my world when I think about the conversation that Jesus was having here with a wise man named, you know, his name was Nicodemus, right? He sat with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus's mind, his mind was literally blown here with this conversation, because the Jews, I mean, they were God's people, right? And Jesus says, you know, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus goes, what? Whoa, breaks. The world? No. God so loves the Jews. Jesus says, no, the world, Nicodemus. He loves the world. Everybody on earth, he loves. Nicodemus's mind is just, bam, blown. And then he says to Nicodemus, that he gave his only son, and Nicodemus's mind he can't handle anymore. He's, wait. God has a son? You see the paradigm shift that Nicodemus had to deal with there and dealt with later on? Mind blown. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So wait a minute. God loves everybody, and he's sending his son. Wow. Nicodemus's paradigm had shifted. I think this morning we have to have a paradigm shift in how we serve people. We have to put away our agendas. We have to put away some of those things and say, you know, I'm loving you, I'm serving you, so that I can demonstrate to you how much God loves you and how much I love you. You know, whether you want to come find out more about our church, well, my actions will demonstrate, hopefully, that, yeah, I'd love to have you here, but I'm not expecting it. We serve with no strings attached. We need a shift in our idea of loving people. The second point this morning I have is we serve with extreme generosity. Extreme generosity. Yes, right? Matthew 20:28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. I think the most extreme act of generosity ever done on planet Earth was Jesus dying for you and me. Good, okay, you guys are with me this morning, good. He died on the cross. That's ridiculous generosity. Yeah, I'd say it is, right? And it's exactly what we received from God. If we're truly his followers, we believe in Jesus, and we're truly his followers, shouldn't we go to extremes to serve others as well? So, you know, when Erica asks, how many of you are signed up for the Life Hope Clinic and 40% of the hands go up, what about the other 60%? Do you need to cancel some plans? Do you need to move some things around? I mean, I get it if you're traveling, but what's it take to say, okay, I'm uncomfortable about maybe this, but I'm going to do it. Maybe it's not Life Hope. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's getting involved more at the church. Maybe it's your neighbor in your neighborhood. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm sure God can speak to you and say, hey, I need you to step up here and trust me and serve. We are nothing, and he is everything. He became nothing and served us as though we were something. Wow. The flip of Jesus there. One more. He laid down his life. He laid down his everything for nothing. How much more should we, being nothing, serve those he considers worthy to be worth something? Amen? We got to think about that. Those people that we serve at Life Hope and other opportunities in our lives are people that Jesus desperately loves. Desperately loves. The third point this morning is we serve to expand the kingdom of God and not just the church. We serve to expand the kingdom of God and not just the church. The reality is when you grow the kingdom of God, guess what happens? You grow the church, right? You guys know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. What's the next part? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that what's being said there? On earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, God wants to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Now, when you say that prayer, not at the second coming, right now. God wants his kingdom here right now. In other words, when you pray that prayer, Thad, God is making you a kingdom bringer. He's bringing the kingdom into reality to those that, I'm using you as an example, comes into contact with. Amen? He wants to bless us now. He does. That's great. He does. He wants to bless us now. And, you know, the Lord's Prayer is something that we should probably say more often. God, use my life to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It's interesting to me that when Jesus said that prayer, the disciples previously were obviously asking him some questions. And they went to the question. It's interesting that they went to the question about prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. What is this about prayer? Why did they do that? I think it's because they saw the link between the prayer life of Jesus and the power that Jesus had. And they said, something happens to Jesus and the people he encounters when he talks with his Father and the kingdom comes down and becomes alive. You and I have that same ability today. That same exact ability today. You all know the scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land, right? That their land, that's not a just a heal their heart and heal their, you know, forgive their sins. That's where they live. That's their communities. God wants to come in and he wants to work within our community. Absolutely. But guess what? We have to ask him first. We have to ask him first. The fourth point is we serve because it reminds us that people matter to God. People matter to God. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus went on a rescue mission for planet Earth, and Jesus asks us, Jamie, to go on that same rescue mission for his people. He says, I want you to go out, and I want you to go on a search and rescue mission for this person, this person, this person. Stop, God, that's too many. No, he says, you can do it because I'm with you. And I want them in heaven. You know, when we serve people, we need to let them know how infinitely valuable they are to God and to us. They are. They're infinitely valuable to God. Just like that lady that received that helmet of ovation. He said, we're doing this because we're showing you how much God loves you and how much we love you. infinitely valuable to God. You know what amazes me when I read through the Gospels, and it gives me a lot of hope, it gives me a lot of comfort, is that Jesus had this ability, right? He had this ability to be in a crowd of people and yet sense the need of a single person who was desperate for healing. A single person. He had this innate ability. Wouldn't that be cool to have that ability? To be in the grocery store and be like, oh, I'm going to go right over to this person because I know they're dealing with something. How can I help you? That's exactly what Jesus did. And the reality this morning is that Jesus knows, amen, he knows, and get this, he never fails. He knows and he never fails. So here's the thing. Anytime you're facing difficulty, anytime you're facing discouragement, anytime you're facing relational problems, guess what? Jesus knows and he never fails. He never fails. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus knows and he never fails. Jesus knows and he never fails. You know, anytime I face difficulty, I have to remind myself, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And he never fails. Amen. The good news this morning is, and I wrote this out on a PowerPoint, I'm just going to read it. It says, the heart of God sees people in our homes, in our cities, in the cubicles, next to us and down the street, and he values them as precious people whom he can't possibly live without. Mercy. Mercy. God calls us to be faithful, church family. And he also promises that we'll be fruitful when we're faithful. Which means that there'll be more people in the kingdom of heaven. The fifth one, we're almost done here this morning. Serving will cost you something. Serving will cost you something, right? So if I think Jesus bled service, I think that's clear. If we go back to Leviticus 14 and we look in Leviticus 14, what it talks about there is that four times it mentions that the priest sprinkled blood seven times to cleanse or purify somebody in Leviticus 14. It's interesting. It's also interesting that during Passion Week, Jesus bled seven times. Did you know that? He bled seven times. I think it's fitting with communion today, so I just want to go over that just briefly. The first time was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' brow, forehead, he bled, he sweated blood, right? I think that could be symbolic of you and I and how our minds can be purified by him. Amen. The second time was at the house of Caiaphas. And do you know what they did there? They pulled out his beard. They mangled his face there. Blood came off from that scene. And I think that's a symbol of how Jesus came to restore the image of God in us. It's powerful. The third one was at the whipping post. And right there at that whipping post, he had 39 lashes, stripes put on his back. And Isaiah talks about, by his stripes we are healed. Blood poured out. The fourth time was the crown of thorns, and blood fell down, and Jesus put on a crown of thorns so you and I could receive the crown of life. It's pretty powerful. The fifth time he bled was when the nails were put into his hands, one here and one here. And I think that speaks about how Jesus revives the work in our hands. He says, hey, I want to work through these hands that you have to bring the kingdom to earth. The sixth time was when Jesus had nails put into his feet. Ouch, that must have hurt. I think I look back to Adam and Eve, the symbolism there, when they were cast out of the garden back in Genesis. And when they were cast out of the garden, Jesus, through the cross and through the nails on his feet, came to bless our walk. He came to say, you know what? Your walk with God will be in faith, and I'm going to restore it, and I'm going to be with you always. Wherever you go, wherever the path of your foot goes, I am with you. The seventh and final time was when they stuck a spear in his side and blood and water poured out. You know, Jesus, we know Jesus didn't die of these things. He died of what? A broken heart. But I believe Jesus came to restore our broken hearts because his was laid out. Whenever you serve, it will cost you. But think about this. How much did it cost him? Everything. Everything. The reality is, the world has always been and will be hungry for a genuine display of unselfish, heartfelt love. If our service is pure and authentic, many people will what? Be drawn to it. Many people will be drawn to it. And the last point this morning is that serving is the path to God's miraculous blessings. Serving is the path to God's miraculous blessings. You know, John 13:7 says that this was when they were in the upper room. He says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And Jesus is talking there about the bread and the wine and the foot washing. He's saying, hey, if you do these things, right? These the foot washing, and you drink the bread and eat the bread and drink the wine, then blessed are you that do them. But we know that it's not just about necessarily the foot washing and the bread and wine. It's about remembering what he went through for you and me, how he served for you and me. Because the reality this morning is, here it is. Jesus doesn't need us to go do a Life Hope clinic. He doesn't. Jesus could take care of those people on his own. He has 1,000 ways in which we don't know many. Why does he want us to do it then? Why does Jesus want us to serve one another? Why do we think about and contemplate the act of service? Here's why. Because God is after our heart. God wants our heart to resonate with his, because God cares so much for every person in the world. He wants us to feel the same way that he does. He wants us to look at people, from our spouse to our relatives to our church family members to our neighbors, with the same perspective. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence and bade them follow me. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be all in with my service for Jesus. Do you do this morning? It means a lot of those things we talked about. You know, it can be difficult. It's a sacrifice. There are things that will come up that frustrate us. But remember, God's after a heart change. God wants us to see people as he sees them and love people as he loves them. And I believe based on that verse right there, that blessing that happens, truly, he truly does. That said, he wants to bless us. As Seventh-day Adventist people, God wants to bless us and help have us be a blessing to other people in this world. That's good news for me this morning. And I just want to challenge you this morning as we partake of the service and the bread and the wine to think about. Don't think about the time. I need you to think about serving God. And so right now I'm going to have a prayer and then I'm going to dismiss you. There's going to be a children's story. We're going to serve each other over in the fellowship hall. There's a room for families, a room for men, and a room for women. And in just a few moments, we're going to come back, okay? And we'll partake of the bread and the wine, and then we'll enjoy the rest of the Sabbath. But I'm overjoyed that you all came here this morning to worship with us and partake of this and remember what Jesus did for us. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for being our example, for serving. And God, we want to be all in to love and serve our neighbors. So God, open the doors that we need to be opened in our lives and lead us, Father, to serve and have compassion for other people. And remember those ways in which we can serve and how we can serve. God, as we leave now to the foot washing, Father, I pray that we will be reminded of what you did for us and how we can do that for each other. God, bring us back together in here as we partake of the bread and the wine as well, and remember your death and your resurrection. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so all the kids are encouraged to come on forward. And if you'd like to partake in the foot washing, there's a lot of room over there. So go ahead and make your way over there. 10 minutes.